much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Take the floor, girls. Positions. Now, I'm sure we all want to dance with an air of delicate grace. And since Teresa Taylor is our musical major, she may drop the needle on the record. Terry?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
What does the man in the street think? Let's find out.
What is your secret in staying young?
My secret in staying young? Well, I got three words. Boom-tang.
This is not good. This is not good. And it's not good for America. You know, this is not good.
That sounds bad when you say it like that.
And now,
what is your spirit animal?
I have a bunch of spirit animals. I'm a squirrel, I'm a whale, I'm a goat, and I'm a dragon.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Our feature presentation.
Who was that? Who was that? I don't know.
That was Larry King, who's got a review show on Hulu, interviewing Tyler, the Creator.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Who is just an asshole, by the way.
I agree.
You couldn't hate him more watching this interview. Boy, does he sure love Tyler, the Creator, though.
He does, huh?
Boy, is he a genius.
And by that, you mean Tyler loves Tyler.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Tyler, Larry seemed to tolerate him well enough.
Sure.
But
because Larry doesn't care.
I don't know. I watch Larry's show. He does a pretty good job. But he, I don't know what to make of this Tyler, the Creator. I really don't. He certainly isn't the genius that he proclaims to be yet. I'm not saying he won't one day be, but he's ahead of his own reputation at this point, I think. So anyway, so that happened.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday, the 9th of June.
How about that already?
Yeah.
How about that already?
Kevin, you ever send your kids to camp when they were younger?
Sure.
They send letters back?
Nope.
Really?
I mean,
I guess they learned from you.
I mean, like one, and then they go, "I mailed." You go, "All right, one."
Yeah, whatever.
So, how long are they gone usually, and how long do you go without actually hearing from them whether they're having a good time or not?
A month.
Wow.
And 2 weeks.
Because I would imagine that's awfully tough for parents. I mean, that's usually the longest their kids have ever been away from them.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they're 8, 9, whatever it is, when you send them off to camper, and you're just dying for how's it going? Are you having fun? Are you meeting people? What are you learning? You're just dying for all of that.
It sucks, but here's what I do understand is that if they're not having fun, you will hear a lot about it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So they're too busy doing things
right.
to write
so
a letter.
In a way, it's great. And in the other way, it's like, well, I wish they weren't having quite so much fun because then they'd have
like
one
to...
second to miss me.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. But, well, the reason I bring all this up is there's a letter from camp that's in the news that is apparently legitimate. This blogger named Liesl Testweed writes a mommy blog, and she sent her 8-year-old son off to summer camp and, you know, was patiently waiting by the mailbox every day, hoping to get a letter from camp. I had no idea what to expect, but was hoping it was. I'm making lots of friends. I'm learning how to, you know, how to tie ropes and groom horses and I'm having the best time of my life. And here's the letter that she got back that is amusing many people. Now, it's not as much fun to hear me read it as it would be for you to read it itself because it's written in, you know, 8-year-old kid handwriting.
Sure.
With all the words misspelled, which makes it even funnier. But here's the letter. Dear Mom, good you packed extra underwear since I had diarrhea.
All right.
Is the opening line of the letter from camp. It got on my shoes, but not on my pillow. I'm having fun at camp and learning stuff. I rock at windsurfing and kayaking. I ate more push pops than anyone. I've ate 23 since Monday, still 2 days left.
Sounds like my letter to my parents.
A lot of this is going to sound like you, by the way. 37 is the record, and I can beat it. Sweet. I went horse. Here's your part, Kevin. This is 8-year-old Kevin here. I went horseback riding, and the horse in front of me took 3 huge dumps. Smoke came off the poop. By the way, if somebody out there, some up-and-coming K-Rock artist band, doesn't name their album Smoke Came Off the Poop, I'm going to be very disappointed. It was awesome. I used my toothbrush to dig for worms. Don't freak out. The guy in the bottom bunk lets me use his. It's safe. I don't know his name, but he can burp the alphabet like me. This kid is awesome, right?
I love him.
A kid named Zach can burp the alphabet backwards. I'm practicing that. We put oatmeal in the counselor's baseball hat. It was pretty funny. Oatmeal is bad, Mom, even with raisins. I shot a rifle. I'm a good aimer. Can we get one when I get home? Mom, did you know you can light farts on fire? I'll show you on Saturday.
Sincerely, 8-year-old Adam Carolla.
Love, W. I don't know what the kid's real name is. P.S. Your spaghetti is way better. P.P.S. Actually, it says P.S.S. Tell my brothers to have lots of farts for Saturday. Looking forward to getting home and kind of sharing the knowledge of how to light farts. So there you go.
Oh, my God.
A little 8-year-old kid from summer camp having the time of his goddamn life right there.
I'll say.
I love it.
Best camp ever. Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Right.
Exactly, young man. Exactly.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Well, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Sports superstitions.
Oh, okay.
People be crazy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, they
and
love
by
their
people,
teams.
You mean including yourself, by the way.
Sure, sure.
Who are committed to those gummy bears, win or lose.
Hey, look, once you find your role, you have to play it.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're not happy with where you are in the chain of things. If you find something that works, you stick with it. That's
okay.
Your job.
Okay.
I'm just doing my part. Thanks for that info, Bean.
How
dare you, sir?
Okay.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Check in with him. We're going to talk about E3 and all the cool stuff that's going to be there. There's a 31-year-old dude who is dating a 91-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about him a little bit on Friday, but now we have an audio interview with both he and his 91-year-old great-grandmother girlfriend.
Sweet.
And they're making sweet, sweet love all the time, by the way.
Mm.
This isn't just they're getting together for lunch. They're doing it. With that 60-year age difference.
I would like an explanation of doing it, please, in this particular context. And also, do you need to get a written letter to have sex? Do you need to get permission? A permission slip signed?
Not so far. Do I?
Well, you might.
Okay.
So that's coming up today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz. Watch AWOL Nation sing this song. The guy is lead singer. Sort of bored. There's not a lot for him to do.
Yeah.
He sings one word about
sail. Every... He gets down, has a smoke, sits there, texts someone. I think he was playing Words with Friends, I think, at one point on stage, and then came back.
Sail! It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi, Bean Baxter.
What's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on with you?
You know, just showbiz, I hope.
You got it. It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, The Fault in Our Stars was number one. Surprised some people by how much it edged out the next film. It made $48.2 million this weekend. Not bad for a young adult novel film about teenage love and cancer.
How was it, Lisa?
I saw A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Ah-hoo-ga.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Ah-hoo-ga.
You cry at that, too?
It is very sad. It has sad moments,
it
for
has
sure.
Hilarious moments.
That was very funny.
It's nice to hear, Lisa. I'm glad you went.
Did you cry when Ralph came on?
Ralph was very funny.
Oh, right. Thank you, Lisa. Kevin.
Kevin.
Checking.
Have you seen it yet?
No, I have not, no.
The man who will see any piece of crap
right?
on a movie screen.
Maybe it's not loud enough.
That's true.
It's plenty loud. There's a lot of loud things in it. There's gunshots and stuff, Kevin.
Very busy. Very busy.
Douche.
A lot to do.
Fault in Our Stars made $48.2 million.
Saw that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I will hurt you. Maleficent came in at number two with $33.5 million. And then what they expected to be number two but turned in at number three was Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise video game. $29.1 million made it number three. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at fourth, then A Million Ways to Die in the West. Godzilla, Neighbors, Blended, Chef, and Million Dollar Arm were the rest of your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. But, of course, the big, big story everyone was talking about was the Tonys, Tonys, Tonys.
Oh, they were on?
Tony Awards were on last night.
Mm-hmm.
Tonys, Kevin.
Yeah, I was thinking that the networks were making it awfully tough on the gays last night to put the Tonys up against the Miss USA pageant.
Oh,
I mean, that's
I
just asking too much.
What are you going to do? By the way, that Miss Nevada,
Yeah, she's a pretty good deal.
She win?
Oh, yeah. She's our Miss USA. How do you not know, Kevin? You're an American, aren't you?
Kevin,
you know,
was
just know the name of the woman who represents you in the Miss Universe competition?
Ralph, you weren't in here yet, but Kevin was too busy hating horse racing to have time to hate beauty pageants.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Open up a blog.
Get the hell out of our country, will you?
How dare you?
You represent everything wrong.
Watched a lot of horse racing over the weekend. I realize it is dumb, stupid, and absurd.
It's one of the most exciting spectator sports around.
Not to mention it's 99% hype and then a one-minute race.
No, the coverage of horse racing is BS.
Horrific.
It's BS.
Okay, we can agree on
because
that.
Because there's nothing but fluff because they only have 1 minute of action.
Right.
And they're somehow, there's some sort of federal legislation which says that have to show 3 hours worth of coverage
for one race.
It's nuts. Stop it. Make it a half-hour show. You'll be fine.
You can make it a 10-minute show.
They're trying to just get every advertising dollar they can.
Yeah.
And Bob Costas is there being all blowhardy, and it's a nightmare. But the races themselves, I mean, you've been to the track. You've been to San Antonio when we've done our events there. Live, it's a great sport.
With booze.
Oh, Kevin.
Back to you.
Anyway, yeah, Miss Nevada won Miss USA over the weekend. She's a fourth-degree black belt, by the way, in Taekwondo.
Damn, that girl is tight.
Wow.
Yeah, that grill is tight.
That grill is tight.
There's something extra hot about a smoking hot, beautiful woman who can kick your ass, I think.
It's Lisa May.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She can't beat a bar of chocolate, but she can kick my ass. Anyways, being mentioned, the Tony Awards were also going on. Here were some of your big winners. Names you might recognize, like Bryan Cranston, now a Tony Award winner.
Wow.
How about that?
Is there anything this guy can't do?
No.
No.
He won for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role in a Play, playing Lyndon Baines Johnson in the play All the Way. Neil Patrick Harris won for Best Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical with his revival of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And no one else on this list you will know, so I won't even go through it.
But. Now let me ask you about that, Ralph, because
yes.
I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an edge if you're one of these celebrities that gets hooked up with a play on Broadway, even if your acting is technically as good as somebody who's not as famous as yours in another play across town?
I'm sure the voters, like anyone else, are swayed by celebrity.
Especially those two men who have been so successful on television for so long and are so likable, so popular. I mean, who doesn't love Bryan Cranston and Neil Patrick Harris? They're two of the best guys in Hollywood.
I would say conversely that the best projects on Broadway often go to actors with names because there's guaranteed ticket sales there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the quality of work may be better to match the performer as well as the performer getting a lot of votes because of their celebrity.
I would say both of those guys are great actors.
Yeah, there's no shame in either one of those winning compared to their competition. Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas are splitting up.
Yeah, I heard.
I was surprised by that.
They've been together so long.
20 years they've been together, Lisa. Yeah. After on Friday they announced they had thoughtfully and consensually decided to finally end their 20-year marriage in a loving and friendly manner, honoring and respecting each other, our friends, our family, and the beautiful time we have spent together, they said.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's beautiful.
How come none of us can do that?
Because they can't either.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because we don't have publicists to craft its beautifully worded letters.
And then the horrible news over the weekend, of course, was the multi-vehicle crash that injured Tracy Morgan. Saturday Night Live cast member, of course, and star of 30 Rock. He was on the New Jersey Turnpike around 1 a.m. early Saturday morning coming home from a gig in Delaware. He was on a limo bus. He wasn't driving. He was merely a passenger with his friends and his assistant and some writers and some other comics. And that's when a tractor-trailer came up on slow-moving traffic on the turnpike. They think the guy may have dozed off.
Oh, man.
Driving a truck, slammed into the limo, several other vehicles. It was like one of those pinball effects. And one of Tracy's best friends, another comedian named Jimmy McNair, he was killed in the crash. Tracy is currently in critical condition at the Robert Wood Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey. But they say he's had surgery and he is responsive and seems to be on the mend. So they're hoping the best for Tracy and everyone else involved in that crash. But
he broke a whole bunch of bones,
he
too.
He sure did. Mm. And Tracy's health is not great in general because he's got diabetes and he's had kidney transplants. So we obviously wish him the best. He's a funny, funny man and a nice guy.
Sounds like the birth rate's going to go down in America this year, though, with Tracy Morgan not out on the street to get you pregnant.
Really? Really? That quick?
Sure. He's fine.
Yeah. He's in critical condition in the ICU.
He's fine. He's going to recover.
He's fine. Sure.
He's good. Don't worry about it.
You're a sensitive soul. You're a sweet spirit. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Michael J. Fox is 52. Anything, Bean? You got anything for that?
No.
Anything for that? Classy Joe?
I wish him. I wish him the best.
Producer Alan Sorkin is 52. Actor Johnny Depp turns 50 years old today. That's 50 right there. Look at Johnny Depp. See Johnny Depp right there? Yep. There you go. That's 50.
Uh-huh.
Son of a bitch.
It's not normal 50, though, I wouldn't guess.
He's an alien. He's not even one of us. Matt Bellamy from Muse is 35 years old. Actress Natalie Portman turns 32 years old today. And actress Mae Whitman turns 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Red Bull sound space is getting quite a workout over the next few days. Thursday morning, of course, we're going to be in there with our friend Jack White doing a breakfast with. And then next week, Linkin Park is stopping by the Red Bull sound space. If you want to go, you can go to krock.com for a chance to win and get some details. We're going to have those tickets for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show and all week long. Linkin Park, up close and personal. Again, details at krock.com.
Hide your pot, everybody. Right? Linkin Park's coming. Yeah, that'll be a good time. That'll be fun.
A man.
Yeah. Oh, let's get some health shakes and some freaking kale because Linkin Park's coming in.
What is kale? Is that fish?
No
idea what kale is.
You've never had kale?
I've heard it.
It's hard to avoid having kale now.
Especially in L.A.
It's a greenery. It's like lettuce, but it's sort of more hardy. It's a superfood. It's got a lot of vitamins and nutrients.
And it's delicious, by the way.
Then I'm not going to like it. If Bean says it's delicious, yeah. I'm out.
Kevin won't like it.
Sorry.
No, it tastes like something that cattle should be grazing.
But spinach-like.
It's not spinach-like. Spinach rocks. Yeah, kale is bitter, but if you douse it with enough, like, gorgonzola dressing or something, you can get it down.
All right.
That's what I found.
I'm sorry I brought up the conversation.
Okay.
Speaking of bad conversation, Bean has Asperger's.
Yes.
And he has trouble telling if his audience cares about what he's talking about or not. So we try to clarify every once in a while with a feature we call...
Fetch That Info Bean!
I write this stuff down verbatim as fast as I can. Sometimes he just flies and I can't keep up. We do have to get a stenographer. We've talked about that before. Things like this. This may not seem relevant. We may be making some headway, Ralph. Right?
Because at least he acknowledges that it's not relevant to anyone, but he's going to say it anyway.
Oh, he'll finish. Don't get me wrong, but at least he notices.
The first part of the editing process is in place. He can recognize that it's a mistake, but he just can't keep himself from doing it.
This may not seem relevant, but Lizzie Kaplan, really pretty.
Fetch That Info Bean.
I've been seeing those promos for the new Masters of Sex season, and I can't believe how gorgeous she is.
We get it.
Yeah, we don't need Lizzie Kaplan. We don't need... clarification. I always forget to bring that up because I feel like we all understand what you meant by
that's
that.
That's the problem. Usually we understand too well what you're saying.
But who hasn't been in a situation where they turned to a coworker and made a comment about some celebrity being pretty or something? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's appropriate office talk.
Usually that celebrity will be present somehow in their relationship before that comment is made. Like she'll be on television that you're both watching, or she'll walk by, or you'll see a picture together. It won't just come out of the blue. This might not be relevant. Exactly. It's not relevant to anything that's happening at the moment.
Fetch That Info Bean.
I just took a where should you be living quiz. Now, that's the kind of opener that it demands that you go,
All right. Where
should you be living? So no one said anything. And then Bean continued. It said I should be living in the Netherlands. So then I couldn't help it. I know the rule. I set the rule, but you're not supposed to respond.
You don't engage.
And I say, and that's surprising because I don't know. And then Mug said, don't you like that part of the world? And Bean said, I do love the Netherlands. And then Lisa said, then it's a good quiz. And then Bean said, and I kid you not, I'd live in the Netherlands.
Fetch That Info Bean.
Started off by saying he was taking the quiz as if, like, how could they suggest the Netherlands?
Right. It'd be like, wow, Schenectady, New York. But it's a place that he loves anyway, and it's the perfect answer. And yet,
Fetch That Info Bean.
Needs to be discussed.
Did I ever tell you guys about the amazing sourdough pancakes I had the other day? Now, that falls in the category of I don't know how good or bad could they be. I guess that's only a story, really, if they make you instantly puke, right? If that's not the ending, if you enjoyed it, that's not a story.
No, it's not.
Look, I go to the Pancake Chef sometimes.
Thanks for that info bean.
Seattle institution for almost 60
Thanks
years.
Thanks for that info bean.
It's the only place I've been where they offer sourdough pancakes, and I thought maybe you guys hadn't tried them yet, and it would be worth me sharing. Hey, this is something that's worth.
It wasn't!
But you, I don't know.
Thanks for that info bean.
I thought you might try them. You might like them as
Wait,
well.
Can you please, Kevin, repeat how he phrased it? Because it's very different than what he's saying now. It's oh, I want to recommend this place. You guys might like it. Say again what he said.
Did I ever tell you guys about the amazing sourdough pancakes I had the other day?
Oh, that old legend, Grandpa, yes. Many times you've told us the amazing story of the sourdough pancakes.
And then none of us said anything, and he said, they're a taste treat.
Thanks for that info bean.
By the way, if you're ever given the opportunity, if he says, did I ever tell you? Yes!
Yeah, yes, he told us.
We loved it. It was a great story. We loved it. Moving on.
I don't like that Olivia Wilde is pregnant. We weren't talking about Olivia Wilde. Like, we weren't looking at a picture of her. She didn't come up in discussion.
Thanks for that info bean.
And there's two more. One is, when you guys go to Vegas, because he went to visit his dad, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. His dad didn't want him. Do you ever go to the Museum of Atomic Testing? So then I say, is there still drinking and gambling allowed? And then Bean says, yeah, those things still exist. And then no one says anything. And then Bean says, I'm so going to the Museum of Atomic Testing next time I go to Vegas.
Didn't have time to work
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Most recent time, but I can't wait. Sounds fascinating.
I've actually been to that museum.
Absolutely. Oh, my
Thank
God.
You, Ralph. It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Here's the thing I don't understand about dogs. And again, this is not in the context of what do we understand and not understand about pets.
I'm impressed it's only one thing. Everything else, apparently, he gets.
Here's the thing I don't understand about dogs. They want you to throw the ball, or bone, or whatever, and then they chase it. No one says anything. And then they bring it back. But they won't give it back to you. I don't get that.
Thanks for that info bean.
Well, you guys know. They want you to throw it, but they won't make you wrestle
understand.
It out of their mouth. Well, what's that about?
Well, I've trained my dog to put the thing down at my feet so I can throw it again.
Oh, well, then Reggie is a better dog than I have. Because. Gamers, as you know, E3 comes to town this week. We'll catch up on what's new inside gaming on Machinima with Bruce Green and Adam Kovic. That's next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, Kevin, your favorite guy ever, the 31-year-old dating the 91-year-old. 60-year age difference, very hot, a lot of sex going on in that family. First, though, TMZ.com is where we go for all the entertainment stories. Our good friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom this morning. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good.
What are you, J-Lo?
I worked a lot, really.
Yeah. Like you always do.
We got our new show. And we had a lot of time.
How did you do week one on the CW with your show last Tuesday night at 8?
It was good. It was good. And, I mean, the idea here is to build this thing from zero.
Right.
So nobody knew who the family was. I mean, we did the most awesome thing with this family. I mean, this is a show. The show's called Famous in 12. It's on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the CW. And the idea is we moved this family to L.A., and said, you got 12 weeks to become famous. And they are scheming their way. They did something so awesome last week that you're going to see. They went to Craig's, you know, the big restaurant in town where a lot of celebrities go.
Right.
And so they go there, and their idea is to photobomb a celebrity because there are always cameras there. So they figure they can get seen by lots of the photo agencies. Well, of all people, Shelley Sterling comes out.
Yes.
And everybody wants to talk to Shelley Sterling. So these girls latch onto her, and they kind of, you know, grab her by the shoulder and escort her to the car, and they're telling people to move out of the way, and Donald's at home. And it was hilarious. And every photo agency in Hollywood has these girls that they're sending out. So it's kind of working, you know. I mean, it's really interesting, but there are ways that stuff like this actually happens.
Is Shelley a little scared? Like, who's putting hands on me and what's going on?
She didn't seem that scared.
Huh.
I honestly didn't know what these girls were going to do, and they just did what they did. It's kind of like, to me, this is kind of like I Love Lucy. Remember the way Lucy Ricardo wanted to become famous? And
sure.
Do all these, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
2014.
I guess I was thinking about Donald Sterling, who would have been afraid.
No, well, Donald Sterling would definitely. do not touch me in public.
This is Tuesday night at 8 on the CW, by the way. Harvey, before we move on, do you like these girls now that you spend a little bit of time with them?
I really like the girls and I like the family because, you know what, they're honest. I mean, there are a lot of people that are very disingenuous that, you know, oh, no, it's not so much the same. It's the, you know, and it's, you know, for so many of them, it's BS. It is
right.
The same.
Right.
And they're so honest about what they want. And they grew up in a little town. They go to a dairy for milk. And they've had this dream, and they're not hiding any of their feelings. It's really interesting.
How does their perception of what fame is going to be differ from what you know about it?
Oh, radically.
Yeah.
Radically. But this is the way it happens for everybody. You know, everybody kind of thinks, oh, this is just, you know, this smooth ride and it's fun and there are never any problems. And, of course, there are problems. There are problems with everything.
Right.
But they right now are determined.
Yeah. But even though they all say they have skills, you know, one says, you know, she's a DJ and one says she's a singer, whatever. One's a dancer. It never... They don't seem at all committed to the idea of, hey, I'm going to be the best at these things, and that's what's going to make me famous is based on my talent. They've already shot way past that approach.
Well, truth be told, the first meeting I had with them in Hollywood, the first meeting, I told them, forget about your talent. And I just went down the line, and I said, you're no Cindy Crawford, you're no Rihanna, and you're no Debbie Allen.
Wow.
Well, because it's true.
It's not true.
This is real. And I just said, this is not going to happen for you in 12 weeks if you're relying on that. You got to scheme, and that's what it's about. I mean, guess who schemed? Kim Kardashian schemed.
Sure.
Paris Hilton schemed. And, you know, it may not sound nice and pretty, but it's the way it works for all of them. Everybody finds a gimmick. People find gimmicks in social media. They find gimmicks in Hollywood, who they date, you know, what they do, where they go. They're all gimmicks. And we just decided, screw it. Just, you know, this ain't going to be a talent show.
So Famous in 12 is Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on the CW. Do you have any update on Tracy Morgan that we're not aware of?
He is in critical condition, and he's going to be in the hospital for quite a while. This was a very serious... really serious accident.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. The driver of the truck that hit him, the 18-wheeler, his name is Kevin Roper, he tweeted something. This Twitter account has now become private. You know, he's been charged now because somebody died. And he wrote this in his Twitter account, trying to win more than lose, driving trucks for a living. It's my road, move or get hit.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
He tweeted that before or after the accident?
Before. No, before.
Wow. And he was driving for Walmart, right?
Yep.
And are we surprised you're an attorney, Harvey? Are we surprised that somebody who's involved in an auto accident where it apparently is his fault and somebody gets killed is let out on bail so quickly, or no? Is that pretty standard?
Well, he hasn't been charged with vehicular manslaughter. And even if it were vehicular manslaughter, it's not, they're all bailable offenses, unless it's a premeditated murder, which this isn't.
Right.
You know, this guy screwed up royally on the road. I'm sure he did not intend to do what he did. And there are a lot of people who drive recklessly, who look down and text and kill somebody. I mean, that's happened a lot. And, you know, people get out on bail. So that's not surprising at all.
Okay. Wow. It was super scary, and I was not familiar with this friend of Tracy Morgan's, this other comedian, this Jimmy McNair, who died. But I mean,
right.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrible, terrible, serious accident.
A really, really bad accident.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that, and also the investigation into the break-in at Sandra Bullock's home. And please go to TMZ.com and see this story about Justin Bieber attempting to get baptized in a bathtub. You won't. I mean, he just gets weirder and weirder. And of course, the CW tomorrow night at 8 for Famous in 12. Harvey, have yourself a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot.
Dustin Brown slipping it back to the point for Mitchell. Mitchell with a wrister that is kicked away by Brad Richards, taken on by Kopitar. Kopitar to the back. Mitchell again! Score! Shot from the point from Willie Mitchell and an overtime winner.
So, double overtime winner on Saturday, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And the NBA Finals are happening right now, and what's going on at Dodger Stadium? What's up with the bees?
What is up with the bees? The bees, by the way, You know, we've been warning you about the bees for a long time. I think they're finally in position to strike. I think the bees are finally mobilizing. We had that story last week of Bee County, Texas, the town of Beeville, where an enormous swarm of bees attacked a man, his son, and his grandson. In Beeville, by the way. One of the guys was allergic to bees. All sorts of firefighters and police had to show up for that. And then this Dodger Stadium story, this was a week ago yesterday, I guess. A swarm of insects descended on Dodger Stadium a week ago Sunday, camping out near the left field pavilion prior to the Dodgers matchup against the Pirates. What do you do in a situation like that? Do you just play the game even though you're being swarmed by bees? Or do you send out a little guy with an exterminator? Or how do you handle that?
I think they had to go out with extermination. I mean, I think they had to go out there and try to shoo them. Yeah, because
away.
What happens if the ball goes right over in that corner and the guy just gets attacked by bees? How do you call that? What is that in baseball exactly?
I haven't seen that in the rules. I would imagine that it would be more than just a distraction having a swarm of bees. But we wanted to find out more about this story because I was not watching. I did not see that because I don't have Time Warner Cable.
Ah.
So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? And I believe we might have the bees. I think we might have the bees on the line with us now.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you, the bees?
I'm good.
You sound a little tired. You have a rough weekend?
No. We're just resting up. That's the reason we came to Dodger Stadium, because we wanted to find one of the most boring places in the world to have a vacation.
Did you notice all of the people there and a couple of baseball teams?
Sort of. I mean, it's hard to tell with baseball whether anything's actually going on or not.
Right.
How dare you, by the way?
So we were just, it's treated like a summer home. It's like a vacation. We're so busy. You know?
Right.
Bees, famously busy.
Yes.
Busy as a bee.
Sure. Busy as a bee. I've heard that expression.
The reason they say that.
Right. Yeah.
And so we need a place just to kick back and relax. We thought, what's the most dull, boring, humdrum, lackluster place we could think of to hang out? And one of us in the colony, I think it was Dave, said, hey, let's go to a baseball stadium.
Oh.
Like, yeah, that's a great idea. Because, first of all, there's lots of crap people throw on the floor and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of food for you to choose from, I guess.
Soda
yeah.
and things that we like. And then we just hang out on the wall and just chill, you know, because nothing ever happens in a baseball game.
What about when a batter hits a ball, though, and then one of the players runs for it and catches it and throws it back in? What about that?
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. No, that's just the kind of boredom we were looking for.
Oh, so you can sleep right through that.
Oh, easily, yeah. I mean, we thought about all the major professional sports. We thought, oh, should we go to a football? No, that's active and
right.
exciting.
Sure.
Racetrack? No, exciting. Horses running around.
Yeah.
Hockey? Can't do hockey. That's really exciting.
Right.
And that's cold. That's too cold for bees anyway, right?
Yeah, we're not big fans of the cold.
Right.
That's basketball. Busy.
Yeah.
Basketball, running, just shooting, jumping.
So you just need downtime. You're just looking
for
some...
We need downtime. We need some way to just relax, kick back, where nothing was going on. And it was baseball or soccer. Those are the only choices we had. And we couldn't find a soccer place because somebody said, oh, go to the Home Depot. I was like, we're not building a shed. We want to take a nap. So it ended up being Dodger Stadium, and we like it here. It's
you
good.
Do?
Yeah.
Are you going to stay?
I think so. I think we're going to hang out. I think we're going to make this a permanent place.
Okay. All right.
Well, we'll start our own team. The Bee League. Home run! Oh! That's a double.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Speaking of the Weezer, tell me you guys saw that video from their show in Florida over the weekend with Patrick Wilson, the drummer, catching a Frisbee while he's drumming?
Yeah. I didn't know. Somebody threw a Frisbee at him, and he didn't interrupt his drumming to catch it?
Did he miss a beat, Ralph?
Not that I could tell.
Sweet. I couldn't tell either. He caught it with one hand, kept drumming, put it in his mouth, kept drumming, and then a few seconds later took it out of his mouth and put it on the ground. But he caught it and kept playing like nothing phases that guy.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
Bean was angry because he brought it back to Bean, but then wouldn't let it out of his mouth. He wouldn't let it go. He was like, oh, Bean had to fight him for it and everything. The one thing he doesn't understand about drummers.
It's an awesome video. That's all I'm saying.
That's all you're saying.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Bee now on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's Monday. Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Wow.
Hot fudge. Holy moly. What's going on? Hot fudge. Holy moly. I'm going to have some fun.
Before we get into the business. this, I do want to read this email quickly from listener Eddie Miller. Thanks for writing in, Eddie. Went to see A Million Ways to Die in the West over the weekend, and after the really loud trailers, I heard a lady behind me say, "That looks like a movie for Kevin."
What?
It must have been a Kevin and Bean listener, writes Ed. So it's a thing now. People are getting it.
That's great.
What did I see that was loud and looked great? Oh, Planet of the Apes. I saw that trailer. I was like, that looks good because it's loud.
The Rise. Rise of the Planet of the
Apes. Yes, well,
Rise
of the Planet. That's the perfect mover for you because the first half hour has like no dialogue in it. Yeah. It's just loud.
It's just monkeys swinging around. Just your people swinging in trees, Kevin.
Why are there no blonde monkeys? That's what I wanted to know. It's loud, but it's not true.
I don't need true, man.
It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Big surprise this weekend by how much money The Fault in Our Stars made, $48.2 million. Look, this is the thing now. If you want to be successful, write a YA novel, as they're called, these young adult novels, or make a movie based on one, and you got a slam dunk because every hormonally fragile teenage girl in the world will go to the movies to see these movies.
Having said that, this movie apparently is also very good, right?
Yeah, but no way.
In addition to just being based on the YA source material, apparently it's good film, too.
Yeah, but they're saying that the lion's share of the audience are girls who have read the book who are just showing up.
Sure,
sure. To see it. And it was a huge hit as a book, but everyone else, over the age of 25 is like, what? What the hell is this thing? Teenage Cancer? The Teenage Cancer movie? That's a hit.
Got to talk to Rodney, see how many times he saw it over the weekend.
$48.2 million, made it number one. Maleficent came in at number two with $33.5 million. Then Edge of Tomorrow, the new Tom Cruise sci-fi film, $29.1 million, made it number three. X-Men Days of Future Past came in at number four. A Million Ways to Die in the West was fifth. Godzilla, Neighbors, Blended, Chef, and Million Dollar Arm, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Actor-comedian Tracy Morgan was injured in a multi-vehicle crash on the New Jersey Turnpike around 1 a.m. early Saturday morning. He was returning from a gig at the Dover Downs Hotel in Dover, Delaware. He had performed there. He was with his assistant and some other comics and friends when they were in a limo bus being driven home, and a tractor-trailer driver in a Walmart truck reportedly dozed off. And I don't know much about professional long-haul trucking, but I would say stay awake.
Well,
that's just me.
That's probably a good tip.
He hit the back of the limo bus and slammed it into several other vehicles. It was just a nightmare.
Not exactly wearing seatbelts in those buses either, are you?
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
If you're in one of those party buses, you're probably just hanging out, you know. Tracy's good friend Jimmy McNair was killed in the crash. Tracy's currently in critical condition after several operations, got a bunch of broken bones, and he is currently at the ICU. So we'll wait and see. Here's the thing. It's a Walmart truck. Somebody's getting paid.
Yeah.
At some point. If not anyone involved in Tracy's party, but several other vehicles were in the accident as well, and I think there's going to be some litigation in the future. Speaking of litigation, this is a Casey Kasem update. Apparently, his daughter, Carrie Kasem, is still in charge of Casey's medical care. He is currently at St. Anthony's Hospital in Washington in critical condition, struggling with a serious pressure ulcer. You know what that is?
No.
Like when you don't move for a long period of time. It's like a bed sore, but it's even worse. In a lot of pain. And well, according to his daughter, he is in declining health and probably will not be with us much longer. Mm. So that's kind of sad news. But the more sad news is Carrie Kasem's interview with The Hollywood Reporter, where she claims that his wife, Jean, literally tortured her father.
Oh, my God.
While he was in her care. She put Ensure into his feeding tube. She would pour that into his feeding tube. She didn't give him the pain medication he desperately needed. He was in excruciating pain because of the painful muscle contractures from not moving and the ulcers and the bed sores. He wasn't being moved on the bed the way he was supposed to. So either through neglect or through malice, she was not taking care of Casey Kasem the way he was supposed to be taken care of.
It's an ugly story.
It is a very ugly story.
He's down on the phone.
And not as ugly as this story. Story's coming out of the Cannes Film Festival that ended a couple weeks ago. Now, according to who you believe, but Us Weekly magazine claims they have good sources, Adriana Lima, Victoria's Secret model Adriana Lima,
yes,
hooked up with at the Cannes Film Festival, Justin Bieber.
Nope.
No.
No.
Yep.
No.
No.
Nope.
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 Yep.
Nope.
No. Yes.
Nope.
No. Yes.
Didn't happen. Nine.
Yes.
Did not happen.
Yes. Can you believe that?
No.
No.
No, we can't. We reject
nope.
you totally.
We refuse.
Why? Why are you rejecting
me? Because show us pictures.
She people seem to know it. Something about something.
Because she doesn't need that little boy to
maybe
her.
Maybe
she
she's found
got
him
every
charming.
Man in the world.
Maybe
Please.
She found him charming. Look, fame. Fame has weight, man. Fame has power.
Nope.com.
And it's happening. I told you it was going to happen, and it's happening. I'm very excited. Rob Kardashian may be the whistleblower on the whole Kardashian family.
He's like starting, a tell-all?
Starting to talk.
Yes.
He's told several people, according to Star Magazine, that the reason he left Italy before his sister Kim's wedding was because of his mother. He says Chris treats him like the lowest of the low, not only because of his weight problems, but because he's the only member of the family that doesn't bring in any money. And he said he's fed up with her. Cracks are starting to show, people.
By the way, that sounds completely consistent with everything we know about Kris Jenner.
Absolutely.
She loves you based on how much money you bring into the family.
Right. If whoever you are, if the star of the moment.
Kim's her favorite.
Right.
Sure. Rob's at the bottom.
Having said that, it wouldn't kill him to pitch in a little, would it?
He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, I mean.
What's he living on, exactly?
He's got the sock line, people. Come on, he's got a designer sock.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You don't have any designer socks.
I don't.
That's right. You don't even wear socks,
my bad.
Best of my knowledge. You barely wear pants.
Kevin, are you still changing your underwear three times a day?
No, I don't do that. That was an exaggeration.
How? But you buy fresh underwear like monthly.
I don't.
You do. You buy.
If it would make you happy.
You buy cases of underwear monthly. You have an underwear closet. We know that for sure.
You do. A separate house. A separate house just for underwear.
A Walmart truck of underwear that I go out.
And hung on hangers.
Not pressed.
They are pressed and hung on hangers.
Ralph, I read the interview, maybe you saw it as well, with the great Jerry Lewis in The Hollywood Reporter this week.
I did not.
He changes his socks, puts on brand new socks four times a day, every day.
Why?
Loves the feeling
kind of
new
nasty
socks.
Feet does he have?
Don't know. And I don't know, it didn't say, I mean, it made it sound like he puts brand new socks on four times a day, which to me means you wear them for a few hours and they're gone. But how's that for that's Kevin Ask, isn't
He's
it?
He's not making that kind of money where he can afford four pairs of socks a day.
So you think he's washing them and then he's putting on clean socks four times a day, not new socks, as the article said?
I can't imagine.
I can't either.
Although maybe they're just washing them and telling them, here you go, new.
Yeah, these are old.
Put these on. Oh,
yeah, I just took the tags off.
Oh, the other room. I took the
came from Sock World.
Package.
Came from Socks R Us. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Michael J. Fox is 52 years old today, as is producer Aaron Sorkin. Producer-writer Aaron Sorkin. Johnny Depp, 50 years old today. Matt Bellamy, Muse singer, is 35 years old. Natalie Portman's 32. And actress Mae Whitman celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What if I were to tell you that we have tickets to go see Jack White tomorrow night at the Fonda? Completely sold out, but you can win them this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show when you hear us play any song by Jack White. How about that?
I'd be excited, Bean.
Are you processing that? Is everybody getting that in their little brains? When you hear any song featuring Jack White here on the Kevin and Bean Show between now and the end of the show, just give us a call at 1-800-520-1067, and you will win tickets to see the man himself at the Fonda. And don't forget, our Breakfast with Jack White happens Thursday morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin, it's been a while since I've seen you as fascinated with a story as you are with Kyle Jones, 31, and his 91-year-old great-grandmother girlfriend. Tell me about the moment where you discovered that they were an item.
I saw a GIF or a GIF, however you say it, and it was a young dude, and the old woman's kind of sticking her tongue out, and he's like...
Oh, there's Frenching.
Yeah, but only kind of from him. She's just sort of posing for it, and it's gross.
Now... Okay, it's gross because you can't imagine what it would be like to kiss a woman that old?
Correct.
He's in love.
No, he's not. He's not
he's
in love. She must have money.
That's what we discussed.
She's
Well,
gross.
Let's find out. Let's find out because we did talk about this briefly on Friday morning, but now we do have interview audio with both Kyle Jones. He likes old ladies and he cannot lie. And here he is talking about how it's just a thing. It's just his preference.
Everyone is wired their own way. I mean, some people are wired towards blondes, brunettes, big women, skinny women, various ethnicities. I'm wired towards older women.
Babyface Kyle Jones has never dated a woman his own age, preferring relationships with ladies more than twice as old as him.
The 31-year-old, who lives in Pittsburgh, regularly romances grandmas in their 70s, 80s, and even 90s.
All right, now, let me stop you there and say...
Go ahead.
There's a thing where guys like older women. That's 32 and 50.
Okay.
It's not 31 and 91.
So you're saying a 60-year-old age difference, there's more than physical attraction going on?
There can't be any physical attraction going on.
He is turned on
no,
by...
No, have you seen it?
I have. Listen, you just heard what Kyle said. Is that some people are into fat chicks, some people are into redheads, some people are into Asian girls. Everybody has a different thing. His thing is he likes old people. Now, Lisa and I talked about this on Friday, how this might have been imprinted on him young. His first sexual experience came when he was 18. He lost his virginity to a 50-year-old.
Okay.
And that's what might have started him on the path to appreciating older women. That's what turns him on, because that's the memory he has of his first and most exciting sexual experience.
Right, but you can – a woman can be 50 and hot. You know what a woman 91 can't be? Hot. This is not possible.
Maybe she wasn't a good-looking 50.
Well, that's possible.
She could be
maybe
like
she looked 90 at the time.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, let's hear from 91-year-old Marjorie McCool and hear what her side of the story is.
When I first met Cal, quite thrilled. It's very flattering to have the younger guy chase you. And he was very nice. I sometimes feel like he's another son. Till we hop in bed.
That's the best part of the whole interview.
She sounds great for 90, by the way.
She's sharper than I am, I'll tell you that. But she thinks of him as a son until they
hop into bed.
And by the way,
Kevin,
he doesn't pick her up and like roll her into bed. She hops.
Dude, they are doing it more than you are doing it.
Come on.
But while his unusual taste in women is too extreme for most, Kyle takes a different view.
People don't like to think of their parents or grandparents having sex, or they just don't do that. Yes, they do, and some of them have with me.
Yes, they do, and some of it have with me. I think this is part of the ick factor, by the way, is nobody wants to think about their parents and grandparents having sex, right?
Well, it's that, but this woman is... If there is such a thing as good-looking for 91, she's not. I mean, you can tell from the French kissing that's going on, her tongue is made of dirt. That guy is French kissing dirt.
It is true. Once you hit 91, there's no good-looking for.
There just isn't.
Maybe you don't look 91. And maybe you look 80.
And every part of you is just dry beyond words.
So you would never have sex again ever rather than have sex with a woman who's that much older than you.
Correct. Awesome for her. Like, she 20 years ago she thought this would never ever happen again.
That's true, and now she's being pursued.
It's kind of great.
Kyle talks a little bit more about how it began.
From a young age, Kyle realized the pinups, which were exciting his friends, weren't catching his eye.
The first time I realized I was into older women, I probably was 12 or 13 years old. It's funny. The things that they're self-conscious about is what I'm into. I like lines. I like the neck feature. You know, women worry about their boobs sagging. I think the natural hang looks great.
Yeah, the natural hang looks great, you guys.
All right. Let me just suggest this. Is this guy meeting anyone that's under 91 in his real life?
Yeah, he is. Remember,
does he have game?
He is dating several women all over 60, by the way. Marjorie just happens to be the oldest at 91, but he has other girlfriends.
Oh, he's a playa?
He's totally a playa, right?
In the senior set.
And apparently he's able to get away with it. Apparently no one is demanding exclusivity from Kyle either. All right, so he likes the gray, he likes the saggy, he likes the turkey neck.
Great. I'm a fan of platinum. I don't like to say gray. I like to say platinum. I'm a fan of platinum hair.
Fan of the platinum hair. All right, here's Marjorie talking about the sex, Kevin. And this is the part I'm most excited about you hearing about.
Nope.
Because Marjorie, God bless her, you're so right, Lisa. Isn't America a great country where she's still having sex at 91 years old? Like, more power you go, Grandma, right?
Yes.
It makes you feel wonderful dating somebody younger than you. Makes you feel like you're alive again. The physical side of a relationship is wonderful. I amaze myself. He amazes me. And I like it. Yeah. Nothing better.
Nothing better.
And I like it. Yep.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have teeth.
That may be working out for them. You don't know. Look, it's awesome that this is happening, Kevin. You can't look at this and wish it weren't happening. This is, I mean, they're both happy. He's getting off on the kind of woman that he likes. It's a turn on to him, and she's having the best. She's having the best life ever for a 91-year-old.
Look, can't I be happy for them and still repulsed at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
All right, I think take that fair. Stance then.
I think that's right. I hope you're gonna give your wife like 2 weeks notice. By the way, whatever age your cutoff is, all of a sudden you can't look at her this
He's
way.
He's 31. She's 91. Bean.
I
know. This is not like when I'm 89. I'll be looking at 91-year-olds. Right.
I am delighted for them.
That isn't good for you.
Hey, it's E3 time, so if you love games so much that you can't wait for this, well, I have bad news for you. It's not open to the public. But, however, the insiders can tell you all about it. Bruce Green and Adam Kovic are in studio with us. They are the co-hosts of Inside Gaming on Machinima. Hey, boys. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Did E3 used to be open to the public, or is it just my imagination?
No, never. It's always been a prosumer event. A lot of people try to sneak in. I actually was one of them. I was
used to sneak in.
First year, 2003, my friend's dad did the lighting, and I snuck in and got to see Halo 2.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So basically, they take 3 days at the convention center, and they pretty much just roll out what the future is going to look like.
Basically, that's what happens. I mean, we're going to see a lot of huge games that we kind of always see, like the Call of Duties and the Assassin's Creeds that everybody knows.
Right.
And there's also going to be Halo 5, which you're really excited about.
Too excited, would you say?
Very much so. Yeah. I get way too excited about Spaceman shooting aliens and stuff like that. But
sure.
I mean, obviously, there's way more, and I deep dive way too much into that stuff. But I mean, you got two big titles coming out, are being shown this year. One of them's coming out, the other one is not, but it's Halo 5 and Destiny. Destiny is the one that was made by the guys who previously made Halo, and they're both at the same show this year showing off their own different games, and it's just
wait,
very
why
exciting.
Is one of them not coming out?
Are
you just mean not yet?
No, not yet. They're being they're showing it this year. We're going to see some gameplay of Halo 5.
I see.
But Microsoft's they're not officially delaying it, but they couldn't make it this year, so it'll be out next year.
Yeah. Microsoft couldn't make it.
What a surprise.
How much do you know about Halo 5? I mean, what's going to be new and different this time around?
So it graphically, they're pushing the limits of the Xbox. This is a Microsoft-owned studio, so they know the ins and outs of this new console, the Xbox One. So it's going to be the best-looking game, most likely, on that platform.
Do I need to get the Xbox One?
Do you have a television?
Yes.
Do you have a cable box?
Yes.
You're perfect.
Yep.
All right, so yes.
You should get it because it integrates perfectly into the living room.
Okay.
And the PlayStation 4 is a gaming system. It's purely for games, and it's the one if you want to play games on your television, that's the way to do it.
Okay.
However, if you want to watch television, if you want to do the whole thing integrated with games, Xbox One's the way to do it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there enough titles?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about games right now. I mean, that's kind of Microsoft. They came out, they really missed up last year. They came out and said, this is going to be your football TV device. And everyone kept asking about where are the games said, those will come later.
They're on the way, yeah.
We're seeing them now, but
okay.
If you'd like to talk to your TV and tell it to turn on just with your voice, the Xbox is perfect for you. Games-wise, I'd give it about the end of this year, probably holiday, is when you'd want to pick it up. Right now, not a lot out there besides Peggle.
Well, hold on. The Xbox One's got Titanfall.
You get Titanfall's a huge one.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. Titanfall.
Yeah,
yeah. So
but it's also on the 360 and the PC, so.
That's true.
You don't need a Xbox One exclusively for it, but you have your choices.
Right. So for E3, are they coming out with any new consoles this year, or is that all kind of behind us?
No, we're not going to see any new consoles. Nintendo, I think, is about 2 years away from revealing a new console. Obviously, we got Xbox One and PlayStation 4 last year, and actually, for this year's E3, that's good because we get to see all the good games.
So this is all about.
Right. So last year we saw the new consoles, and obviously almost always their launch titles are bad. They're bad for those new consoles.
Right.
And then the next year is when they know how to use the hardware, and they've revealed all the big games, like we said, Halo and Assassin's Creed and the usuals. So that's sort of the reason why this year's E3 will be better than last year's.
Right. And hardware-wise, you're going to see Oculus Rift is going
to be. That was the question on the tip of my tongue. I mean, that's something even non-gamers have seen a lot of articles about in recent months.
Yes.
Tell us what you know about that.
Well, Facebook gave them a lot of money, and it probably pushed the development of virtual reality ahead, I would say, about 2 years. And what you're going to start seeing is a lot more games, a lot more development going into this, and cell phone integration. They just announced that Samsung's going to be working closely with Oculus Rift. Pretty soon you're going to be able to just play games that are on your phone. And they haven't announced yet what they're going to announce, but we are going to see something this week announce from Oculus, which is really exciting for us.
Wait a minute. So you know there's something that they're going to announce, but you don't know what they're going to announce?
That is the game industry in a nutshell. Yeah. There are announcements for announcements all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, I've been using Oculus Rift now for 3 years. I've been seeing it at a bunch of different shows. And every time I put it on, I was like, this is really cool. But I don't know if it's going to catch on. I just couldn't tell if people thought it was cool as cool as I did. When he wore it, he was like, this is going to change everything. And I was like, all right.
So he seems like he's a fan of anything shiny.
You're kind of right. You get really excited at the very beginning. But once you've worn the Oculus Rift for more than an hour and you don't get motion sickness, that's also very important. You don't get motion sickness, then you will realize how this is sort of the future when it comes to, you know, because I think it's going to transition from Google Glass to Oculus Rift. And it's going to be, I don't know, it's a weird future. I don't want to acknowledge that we're going to have to put on goggles and be in an entirely different world all of the time.
Right.
But it seems like it's going that way.
How realistic is the world inside of Oculus Rift? I mean, is it indistinguishable from real life, or does it look like a hyper-real video game?
So what we've seen right now is really early development kit stuff. So the one Bruce and I mess around with was really low res, not even HD. The newer kits are HD, moving to, I believe, 4K.
Yes.
And they're getting way more realistic.
And those come out in about a month or so, right?
Pretty soon the dev kits, yeah. If you can order it now, I believe, and you can get it in like July, something like that. But the demo we saw was basically just like a fantasy world. And it didn't look that great, but I didn't want to leave. It's like when you looked up, it went up. When you look down, you look down. And you can fly around, and there's just fire and brimstone. And you kind of like – you can't feel it, but you can feel it.
It's insanity.
Yeah. Can I do that while I'm driving? You think?
Yeah, you can give it a shot.
Okay.
You feel like you can feel like you're flying for reals in this thing.
To a degree. It's that sort of thing. The minute you get up and start walking around, you're going to hit something. Like,
well, there's that.
Yeah, yeah. But as long as you're sitting down safely, yeah. Right now you have to use a controller, but with motion control and everything else, pretty soon you're going to be in a whole different world and you're not going to want to leave, which is weird.
Now, are we closer than ever to robot sex? Because that's really what it all comes back to for me.
Well, that's already happening. Right now, you know, we are already doing that as we speak. I'm sure have you guys seen the internet videos of the, the fleshlight? Have you seen that?
Oh, sure.
The motorized fleshlight along with the Oculus Rift.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's actually like something that's detecting his motion. So when you move, it moves with you.
World is about to get perfect.
Finally.
Bean is going to put that on and never leave that world.
Well, I already don't have any reason to leave my house, but now I really don't have any reason to leave my house. Yeah. Oh, this is great. This is great news, you guys. Bruce Green and Adam Kovic are here. They are the co-hosts of Inside Gaming on Machinima. By the way, the last time we had you on, Bruce, you told us some numbers about your YouTube channels, about the Machinima and the Inside Gaming channels. Give me those numbers again.
So, yeah, YouTube.com/Machinima has about 11.5 million subscribers.
Hello.
How many was it, like maybe 2 billion views a month, I want to say, just through the entire Machinima network, because we've got a bunch of different partners along with our normal channel. And then Inside Gaming has about 500,000 subscribers, and we get about 200,000 views a day or so. Maybe
unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
talking about E3 2014, it starts tomorrow, runs through Thursday at the Los Angeles Convention Center. When we come back, we have so much more to talk about, including the new Star Wars game and Destiny and The Witness, and there's so much good stuff that's coming out that we're going to talk all about when we return right after this in the World Famous Game. The co-hosts of Inside Gaming on Machinima, Bruce Green and Adam Kovic, in studio with us right now. We're talking about this week's E3 at the Los Angeles Convention Center. By the way, before we get back to what you're expecting to see this week, you must get inundated with people everywhere you go every single day who say, how can I get a job working in video games, right? I mean, it's the dream gig for geeks like you guys.
That is an hourly question we get on Twitter, on Facebook, everything.
You just tell them it's not possible?
That's usually what we say. No, usually we say stick to your guns, because it was kind of one of those things where we just fell into it. I mean, I worked here for a few years.
Right.
And it was one of those things that I did in between other video game jobs. And I just always enjoyed video games. I enjoyed media. It was one of those things that I just kept going
There's
on.
There's so many people that enjoy video games that never end up working in the industry, though.
Which is, you just, like I said, I just kind of fell into it. I just had to keep pushing on it. And eventually, I was, we got lucky, and we play video games now for a living, in addition to making videos and doing other things like that. So it's not just playing video games.
Now, what are you going to do from E3? Tell us about your schedule.
We're going to, starting today, right after this visit, we're going right back to the office. We're watching the Microsoft press conference at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And we're doing our own little Mystery Science Theater thing because press conferences are usually a disaster.
Boy, they're boring.
And we always wanted to commentate over
what's
happening.
So you guys are in the corner going, you suck! Speed it up!
That's exactly what it's going
to
be.
We're just going to wait for the little girl to come out and pet the virtual tiger, and then next they show, you know, a dude blowing up. And like, it's just, it is perfect. And then every day on the show floor, we are doing a daily wrap-up of all the big news, all the big games, all the stuff you should care about, who are the winners, who are the losers. It's kind of our yearly tradition, and it's a whole lot of fun.
What's the biggest thing you guys think that maybe most of the public doesn't know about yet? Is there something that's kind of bubbling under?
Man. Okay, all right. So have you guys heard of a game called Fallout 3? Does anybody know what Fallout 3 is?
I don't.
No.
Okay, so Fallout 3 was basically a first-person shooter that was an amazing game. Came out, what was it, 2008, I want to say?
Something like that.
2008. Okay. And there's this huge post-apocalyptic game. There possibly could be a trailer for Fallout 4 this year, and that's going to be the big news if it happens.
All right, wait.
Which sounds really nerdy and stupid.
Well, I mean, you are saying that this game might have a trailer.
A trailer, right? No, yeah, no gameplay.
It's not the game or a gameplay. It's just the trailer?
Just an announcement. Yeah, that's...
What the hell's going on?
This is the video game
you
business.
People don't need much, do you?
No. We joked about it before. All they need to do is put a number 4 on the screen, and people will riot. It's insane.
Yeah. Let me ask you about a couple of other games that people are excited for more information on. Star Wars Battlefront. What do we know?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Okay, so if you guys played Battlefield at all, do you guys know the game?
I've seen it, yeah.
Battlefield.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's basically Battlefield with Star Wars. So if you're a Star Wars character and you want to fly in Star Wars vehicles and you want to shoot Star Wars guns, that's what Star Wars Battlefront is going to be. It's from the same developers, EA and DICE, that made Battlefield, and it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be a great game, but again, I'm a huge Battlefield fan.
Okay. Now,
has Star Wars done as much with video games as they could have, bearing in mind it's the most successful and popular sci-fi franchise of all time?
It's gone through its ups and downs. It was run from a studio called LucasArts for a while, and they tried all sorts of things. A lot of hits, a lot of misses. More hits, I would say, than any other licensed IP, but that company is gone. Disney picked up Star Wars,
license, yeah.
And now they're licensing it out to big studios like EA, and Battlefront's one of those very sought-after IPs that people have been wanted for, I want to say, 10 years now, and they haven't had a new one. Battlefront 2 was a huge success, but the developer went under, and so now this is something people have wanted for years.
Right. Is that a normal thing where studios put too much money into it and... just it happens. Fail all the time?
It happens a ton.
Does it?
In video games. Yeah, I mean, like, it seems like...
Like you get one Call of Duty. You're good for life.
No, but those are impossible to come by, right? Call of Duty's are hard to come by. And also, I think this is the first year, or maybe even the second year, that Call of Duty sales are going down.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually Activision's going to have to kind of just back off and be like, nobody wants Call of Duty anymore. We're not going to make it. You know, instead, we're going to make some other game like Titanfall,
right,
for example. So.
All right. What about Batman Arkham Knight? This is also much, much, much anticipated.
Yeah, this is huge. This is the end, essentially, of the trilogy from Rocksteady. They started this back in the day with Arkham Asylum, and now they're wrapping it up with this one big, huge, pretty game, next-gen only, from my understanding, Xbox One and PS4 and PC. Beautiful-looking game.
Yeah.
Big open world. You can finally drive the Batmobile around Gotham City.
Oh, yes. No kidding.
It's going to be pretty sweet.
They're the biggest dorks I've ever met. such big nerds.
And I share your excitement.
So I'm not sure what that says about me. But
we've seen next to nothing from the game. At least Bruce and I, we missed out on GDC up in San Francisco a little while ago. So we're going to see the game for the first time personally, and we're super excited about it, especially since we are huge Batman fans.
Why it's your Christmas and your Super Bowl this week, is because you get to see things like the new Batman game, right?
It's Hanukkah and everything else in between. This is the biggest show of the year, and it's very
exciting.
And
maybe a trailer.
Well, there might, maybe, possibly.
All right, let me ask you about one more, only because I have never heard of this before, and I see that it is a billion-dollar industry for Activision. What is Skylanders?
Oh, man. Okay, so Skylanders is basically what, like a 10-year-old, maybe like a 10-year-old's game or a 12-year-old's game? Like if you're a kid,
That's why I don't know it, I guess.
Right, and you want to buy a bunch of action figures that you put onto
Pete's
a little...
into Hello Kitty, so he's on the girl side of the 12-year-old.
So yeah,
but, I mean, a billion-dollar industry making a game for 10-year-olds. That's unbelievable.
Well, the thing is, there's a twist to it. So in order to play the game, you have to buy toys. It comes with this little platform. And so it's perfect for children because you buy them a toy rather than just, you know, knocking Legos over with it. They put on this platform, and now that character will be in the game.
It appears in the game.
Disney flat-out copied this with Disney Infinity recently. So now you buy Disney toys, and you put Mr. Incredible on there, and all of a sudden you got Mr. Incredible in your game. And you can keep putting these toys out for years. And
that's brilliant.
It is so smart. That is why it is a billion-dollar industry.
So we're big nerds, but we don't play that game. We're not that nerdy.
So you draw the line.
We draw the line somewhere. I mean, like Call of Duty.
All right. Well, listen, boys, we're almost out of time. Anything else you wanted to mention since you stopped here at K-Rock today, besides obviously telling people to go to the Inside Gaming YouTube channel, the Machinima YouTube channel, to watch all the coverage from E3 this week? What else should we know before you go?
Games-wise, keep an eye out for Destiny. This is coming out this year. At the end of the year, this is published by Activision, developed by Bungie, the guys who created Halo. I can't say what I know about it because I'm
say
under
what
NDA.
You know about it.
I'm under NDA. I'll get sued. I may or may not have had some hands-on with it recently. And
may or may not. Okay.
I can't say one way or the other. But this is like the game to look out for at the end of this year. It's not getting a lot of hype right now, and because I think they've been doing a pretty bad job of explaining what it is. When people get their hands on it, they're going to be blown away.
Not that you have.
I can't. I doubt it.
Right,
Kevin. I hope one day we're cool enough to have a non-disclosure agreement about anything.
You're cute. All right, guys. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Before I beat you, let me give you something. That's what I say to all the ladies.
Sure.
This is a very cool thing for me to give, and I'm happy to do it. It is a Six Flags Magic Mountain Annual Pass.
Yay!
How about that?
Right.
A pair of season passes to Six Flags Magic Mountain. How much would you go to Magic Mountain if you had a season's pass?
A lot.
Constantly, right? Yeah. All the time.
Of course.
Probably sleep there.
On Colossus. Right. Sleep there. By the way, they're dismantling Colossus.
Are they?
No. Yeah. Hmm. The legendary wooden roller coaster, the iconic roller coaster there at Six Flags Magic Mountain. They're taking it down. So go now. Go like the wind and ride it before it's gone.
Never get off.
And Dave, the King of Mexico, gave me the inside scoop that it's backwards now these days, too. You can ride it backwards.
Oh, all right.
It's very exciting. So if you'd like to win a season pass to Magic Mountain, why wouldn't you? Call me now. 1-800-520-1067. Lucky caller number 6. See what I did there? Six Flags Magic Mountain.
I don't see the... I don't get it. I don't see the tie-in.
Caller number 6 at 1-800-520-1067 will win a pair of season passes to Magic Mountain. Good news!
Right, yes?
Moving on. Spencer and Heidi are coming back to reality television.
No.
Yeah!
Who?
We got done with them.
Spidey!
We're done.
Why?
Spencer and Heidi. Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag.
Whose idea was this?
Well, they won't have their own show, Lisa, but they will be doing an episode of Celebrity Wife Swap.
Why?
I think they need attention.
Yeah.
They need money.
They're going to be switching places with 7-time Olympic medalist Amanda Hurt. Nope. Amanda Beard and her husband, Sasha Brown. So, June 19th, set your DVRs.
Nope.
Or don't.
Come on.
Or investigate your cable or satellite provider to see if you have any other channel.
How are you guys going to come at Spidey like that?
Lisa's right. We were done with them. We said, good riddance.
Took
farewell.
Took forever to get rid of them.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see in theaters over the weekend. The Fault in Our Stars debuted at $48.2 million this weekend. Huge, huge debut for a film based on a YA novel about teenage cancer. Of all those movies, this is the most successful so far. Mm. I was speculating as to the wild success of this film. We were saying because the movie, the book was a big hit, and a lot of hormonal teenage girls want to go and get dreamy.
Right.
I know I can't wait.
I know you can't wait. And but listener Paul Lee also gave me the tip, and I was not aware of this, but the author of the book is John Green, who has a wildly successful YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
And he's an enormous presence on the internet, especially in YouTube. He started VidCon. You know, that's the event they have every year where all the big YouTube stars go and meet their fans and stuff and everything. And so a lot of his followers from YouTube also went out to see the movie this weekend. So
there a lot of reasons.
A lot of reasons. It did very well. Maleficent was second with $33.5 million. Edge of Tomorrow, the new Tom Cruise science fiction adventure, only made $29 million, but that was good enough to make it number three. Then X-Men, Days of Future Past, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Godzilla, Neighbors, Blended Chef, and Million Dollar Arm rounded out your top ten at the box office. While we're talking about movies, Seth Rogen has announced over the weekend he is looking to do a sequel for his movie Neighbors. No surprise there. That movie has taken in over $135 million so far.
I like that.
At the U.S. box office. He's also trying to get a film off the ground which would co-star himself and Kevin Hart. A movie called Jazz Cops. Where they would play two police officers trying to infiltrate the jazz scene during the 1950s.
I'm so in.
Jazz Cops.
That sounds funny.
It does sound funny. Already it sounds funny. And here's another thing about movies. Sometimes they don't sound nearly as good as they end up being. And this may be one of those. Would you like to go see a movie about Joy Mangiano, the single mother who invented the Miracle Mop and went on to be a star on QVC and the Home Shopping Network?
It doesn't scream out to me, come see me.
That's
no.
what I'm saying. But what if I told you, oh, it's being written and directed by David O. Russell from Silver Linings Playbook and American Hustle.
Okay.
And we'll be starring Jennifer Lawrence as Joy Mangiano.
Yes, so
yep,
much.
I agree.
See, now, now all of a sudden you're like, oh, they're going to put a cool, weird sort of twist on it.
And I like it.
That could be an interesting movie. So they have come to terms, and apparently that's going to happen. Good news. Today's celebrity birthdays. I want to thank Dave the King of Mexico for giving me the wrong...
Again?
Wrong what? Age of Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp, we've been celebrating his 50th birthday all day today. He's actually 51 years old today, which makes me suspect about everyone on this list.
It should.
But this may be from last year. I don't know where Dave got this list, but I'm going to do my best. Michael J. Fox is 52.
Not my fault.
Aaron Sorkin, maybe 52 as well. Matt Bellamy of Muse... could be 35. Natalie Portman is 32-ish, allegedly. And Mae Whitman, the actress, is 25, 26, somewhere
I like that
in
you
there.
Never stop going back to the King of Mexico for your birthdays, though.
Look, I can't do it all. I need someone to help me. I ask for one simple thing. Just find me some celebrities' birthdays.
Is there no one else?
Just put it on the list.
Go ahead and add a year on all of those.
Add a year of all of them?
Yeah, just add a year. Plus one.
Are you telling us that all of them are off by a year?
I can't confirm or deny that, but just add a year. Go ahead.
This is last year's
this
list?
This is last year's list.
It may be a year from... It may be a list from last year, yes.
Son of a bitch.
I think part of the problem is his English ability, I think.
And you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to go to Dave the King of Mexico and ask him for birthdays.
I know. I am.
That's on you.
I am the abused spouse who won't leave the marriage.
Hey, just be happy that they're the right people on the birthday list.
I don't
think
we should think just be
are,
happy.
But
just settle for that.
Probably not.
You're an ass. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Congratulations to Barry Orr from Canyon Country is our grand prize winner, by the way. Going to, I don't know, Hong Kong to see the premiere of Transformers Edge of Extinction and to see Imagine Dragons play.
That's pretty cool.
We qualified you for that all weekend long. And again, the name, Kevin, of our grand prize winner this morning?
Barry Orr.
Barry Orr.
From Canyon Country.
Thank you very much, Barry. Thanks for listening. By the way, lots of great stuff to give away still on this morning's Kevin Bean Show, including a pair of tickets to go see Jack White tomorrow night at the Fonda. Just be one of the first five callers through when you hear us play any song featuring Jack White. We will play something between now and 10 a.m. here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. And don't forget, our breakfast with Jack White is going to be Thursday morning right here on the show, too.
You know, there are problems, and everybody agrees that there are problems. And then there are people that put out solutions, and perhaps that's not a workable solution for everyone. And maybe we just need to keep spitballing. Because it's still a serious problem.
Okay.
Like whatever do you mean?
Like sex in college. Apparently there's enough of a problem where people are not okay with it, and it's happening anyway.
lot of drinking going on in college.
Correct.
And, yes.
Well, I think the problem is a lot of colleges have come under fire in recent months and years that they don't have strong enough sexual assault policies
right.
in place. In other words, they don't have a hierarchy that's set up that a young woman can go to them and say, hey, here's what happened. I got date raped and something will be done about it rather than just, oh, well, should have been more careful.
But there's a new law that's been co-authored by L.A. State Senator Kevin DeLeon. And it basically says, and I'm not sure, this is the part where I'm not positive it's going to work out. You need to get written consent. So
now there's paperwork involved in your sexy time?
So you're having a great night. She seems to be into you. You seem to be into her. Everything's about to move to the next step. And then you got to bring out the paperwork and have them sign.
It'd be a little awkward.
A little.
If that's what you're saying.
I'm not positive this is the answer. Although so wait, there is
but it
an
does
issue.
Protect him, too.
Yes.
In case there's a question later.
Right.
I guess. So do you have to do it? I mean, I don't know. Maybe this hasn't been decided yet. They're still working out the specifics.
Oh, you need a notary public, too. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you have to do it as you go from first base to second base to third base? Or can you just start with the paperwork at the beginning and just sign all the way through to whatever happens?
I think that's up to you, right?
I don't have those details.
Okay.
Well, I don't know at which base you have to enter the paperwork.
We wanted to find out about this verbal or written permission and what's required for college sex to be consensual of both parties. And we thought there's only one guy to go to who knows about how all this stuff works. And he is our friend Bruce Endicott. And, of course, he works for the organization Coffee. And Bruce joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Endicott, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin and Bean.
Remind me, please, Coffee, what that stands for.
Coffee, our organization Coffee. The name stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
What we are a group of highly intelligent, highly moneyed, white male Americans. And our job, as we see it, is to try to create a bridge, if you will, across the great chasm that is the divide between the sexes or between the races or between religions. And we try to cross that bridge and bring everyone together through understanding and communication.
Well, that seems like a worthy goal.
Thank you. We think so, too.
Well, you've talked us through some very delicate issues over the years, Bruce, that have to do with race and sex. And this one looks like another instance where we really do need your help. What do we need to know about this written consent for college sex?
This proposed legislation, we here at Coffee think it's an excellent idea.
Okay, you're for it, all right.
We are for it because, first of all, women are being taken advantage of in great numbers, especially in college situations. We find that just unacceptable.
Okay, I'm surprised to hear you say that, but I'm happy.
Also, we find women extremely confusing and less than smart. So this comes in handy because this way everyone has on the same page, if you will, literally on the page of a document, everyone understands exactly what they're entering into. And you don't have to worry about those mixed signals from the lesser sex anymore. If you're a man, you can just interact with women and have the confidence of knowing you've got a legal binding document behind you.
Okay, we don't really call them the lesser sex anymore. They do have every bit as much of a say in sexual activity as the man does.
That's what we're saying, that this document will get everyone on the same page.
But you also called girls the lesser sex.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's just semantics.
Oh,
really.
Okay. Okay.
But they're not as smart as men.
Lesser, worse, dumber, whatever you want to say.
Semantics actually mean something. They have some impact, so maybe don't say that.
I'm sorry. Is someone talking?
Yeah, it's the girl.
Oh, hello. So this way, men are protected because there have been many cases where a woman has cried sexual assault against a man without significant evidence and has been very damaging to his life and career as well. It's not, you know, often the case, but it does happen. This way, everyone's protected.
Okay.
Women are protected because they are getting to say, they give the permission of what they're entering into.
Mm-hmm.
Men are being protected against being wrongly accused. This way, everyone understands exactly what they're getting into, and it's an illegal binding contract. And if there's anything about white men, we love contracts.
You do love that. Now, is there a list of things that he or she will or will not do?
Yes, of course. The document will have to be thoroughly vetted to include any possible permutation of sexuality that you may enter into so that both parties can sign off on that. You enter into a document, and there'll be a list there, and we've seen the document that they've proposed, a series of boxes that you can check next to and say, yes, I will be up for the Juanita special bean dip, for example, but not for the Kenny Bunkport surprise. You may sign off on the Monroe transfer, but you say no to the Nixon. A lot of people feel that way.
Wow, all right.
The Puerto Rican fog bank may be okay, but let's say you don't want to go for the scrunicorn.
That scrunicorn is very painful if you're not limber.
A lot of women may be up for the swimmer's ear, but not the tuna melt. We can understand that. The walrus may be fair game, but the West Side Glaze may be right off the table.
What if everyone doesn't know what all of those terms are?
Well, caveat emptor.
What?
Buyer beware.
Buyer beware. I see.
If you're getting in that situation, you better know your terms. I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
I see.
Right.
You can't get into the Brazilian flapjack and then afterwards complain, oh, I didn't know what it was. You know, if you and your partner, you know, you go in and you do the chocolate pizza milkshake.
Right.
Don't think, you know, you're going to get the Davy Crockett instead. It's your own fault if you're not understanding that.
You got to learn. You got to bone up before you bone, it sounds like.
That's what I'm saying. Don't go in expecting the flaming Amazon and coming out with the flying Dutchman.
Okay. All right. If you learn nothing else from today's show, please take that away.
I'm not saying I don't believe in sports superstitions. I'm not saying they don't work, Kevin. I'm just saying I don't fully understand what you're doing.
Look. You remember our friend John back in the day who used to be sitting there watching TV, and if he had his head in his right hand and his team would take the lead, he would remain frozen in that position.
Okay.
Because he thought that were he to move, things might go south.
Okay.
And it would be his fault.
Okay. Understood. Gotcha.
Okay. So what happened was at the beginning of the playoffs for the Los Angeles Kings when we were playing, I think it was the Sharks.
That's right. That was round one.
We were behind 3-0.
Okay.
Between the first and second period, there's about a 20-minute break. I went and got some gummy bears. Now,
okay.
That game we won.
Okay.
So then the next game, it was my sacred duty to go get gummy bears again.
Obviously.
Because I need to do my part.
Okay.
Now, everybody else has to do their part, too. It's not all on me.
All right. So everybody contributes. Every fan doing the right thing at the right time and the right day for the right game is what contributes to the team winning.
Sure.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I know.
That is insane.
Right. It's insane, and it's stupid. I agree with you on both of those. But if
people who stop watching a game and then the team wins so they can't watch the game.
Oh, there are a lot of people like that.
That's terrible. That's dumb.
So, Kevin, if you had not had gummy bears the second game, would the Kings have lost that game?
See, I don't know. See, why risk it? Why risk it?
Yeah.
You don't have any idea if you're contributing or not, but do whatever you did because...
Maybe it did?
Right. Maybe you're putting it out there in the universe?
Well said, Lisa.
So we're going to take your calls on your sports superstitions, particularly if, like it's going on right now, if you're rooting for the Kings, for instance, in the Stanley Cup final, or maybe you're a Heat fan in the NBA finals, or, you know, whatever it is, especially if it's going on right now. But any kind of sports superstitions that you've used that you believe have had an effect on your favorite team, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
I'll give you another example. Okay. 2 years ago, when the Kings won the Cup, I had a lucky jacket. Now, by the way, I'm the first guy to say this is just dumb beyond words.
Mm-hmm. But what's the downside?
Right. So, one, I was like, can't wash it. And that was at the beginning of the playoff run. So, by the end, it was pretty much wearing itself.
That's the equivalent of your playoff beard. But you can't grow a beard, but at least you can wear a mangy jacket. So, you also can appear homeless just like the players do.
Exactly.
Yes. But going back to the gummies for a minute there. So, clearly you did your part. And the Kings did their part because then they won 4 in a row.
Sure,
and they advanced
to
round 2.
They had something to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, they advanced to round 2. Okay. Do you then, once the San Jose series is over, when they get into round 2, which I think was against the Ducks, right?
Yeah.
Do you then continue with the gummies?
Well, I did. See, now
you did
again,
continue with the gummies.
Now, again, I don't know. I don't know.
All right. So that series went 7 games with a lot of back and forth, very tight series. What happened? The games that they lost that you ate the gummies at, how do you rationalize that?
Somebody else blew it.
Oh, somebody else didn't do their part.
Right.
Okay.
I can't now do everything. Do you want me to do everybody's part? I can't.
It's making insane sense to me now.
I'm only one man, sir. I can only do my part.
And do you believe at all, is there any part of you that believes that if you had done none of these things, the jacket in 12, the gummy bears in 14, that it would have at all altered the way the Kings played?
I would say there's that's 99.9% true. And yet, what's the downside?
And yet, who knows?
What's the downside?
Let's talk to a fellow Kings fan. This is Rick. He's on the line from Lakewood, and he is on line two. Rick is apparently also contributing to the Stanley Cup final right now.
All right, Rick.
Yes.
What's your part?
Okay. Well, what's up, guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
I shave every game. Every game the Kings have played that they won, I have shaved.
So you go the opposite way of the sports superstition for hockey, which is the players never shave when they're in the playoffs.
Exactly. I started in the beginning. I was going to do the playoff beard, and my girlfriend was really upset. So the third game, she was like, they're losing, just shave. Like, got upset with me. So I was like, whatever, I'll shave. I shaved 5 minutes before the game, and they won.
Boom.
And I was like, got to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts.
All right, you know that that's insane, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
but what's the downside?
Downside. Exactly. You probably look a lot better shaven.
I'll give or take.
All right.
Good. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Chad, also a Kings fan. You hang on. Liz, we want to talk to you as well. What are your sports superstitions? What is it that you do as a fan that helps your team win? Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guy just tweeted me that during football season, he has to wear his Patriots t-shirt from Friday through Sunday. He has to wear it for 3 days.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah. Every game.
Maybe get more than one t-shirt, maybe.
You don't understand anything about this.
Talking about sports superstitions here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Neri writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, my wife and I are huge Los Angeles Kings fans. We used to go to playoff games all the time, and they'd always lose the games we went to. So in 2012, we decided we weren't going to go to any more playoff games.
God bless you.
There you go.
What happened? They won the cup. Next year, we didn't go to any playoff games either. They went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. This year, no games, back in the cup final. We can't go to any more playoff games now because of their success. I mean, our success. So Neri really, I guess he's doing his part by not going, I guess, right?
Remember when Ralph, who's a Philadelphia Eagles fan, used to take the opposing team, like a picture of their helmet or one of the players or something, and he would put it in the freezer.
Right. He would ice them. Right.
Ice them. And we said, are you really doing that? And he said, yeah, absolutely.
Icing them.
All right. Let's take a couple more calls, including Chad on line four, please. Chad joins us from Huntington Beach, also a Kings fan. Let's see if he's doing his part. I mean, whatever he's doing, it's working because they're up 2-0 in the finals.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, what's going on, Chad?
Hey, Kevin, Bean, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What's your superstition?
I have to take down all my Kings signs, flags, everything.
You have to take it all down?
On game day. Okay. I can fly it all week long.
How did that get started?
My five-year-old, London, she told me.
She told you.
Okay.
Okay, this is getting better.
So that made sense to you when your five-year-old said, Daddy, if you really love a team, you'll take down all their stuff before they play.
That's right. All right. Mom said, too. So
you're shaky. All right, it's a little shaky,
but, you know, keep on with the gummy bears.
There. Okay, thank you. And keep on with the taking down memorabilia.
Let's talk to Matt. He's on line five. He is also at the beach, this time from Redondo. Hi, Matt. You're another Kings fan. What are you doing? You doing your part?
I am doing my part, definitely. I am a new father, and I have to hold my baby during the game. Otherwise, the team scores, and we lose. When I hold her, they end up scoring, and we win.
You're going to have a super nervous baby when she grows up because your heart rate has just been crazy.
That's a good point.
I've held her for all game seven. And the first two games of the Stanley Cup.
Well, why don't you hold her for games 1 through 4? Maybe we won't have to get to 7.
I was working, so I couldn't hold her.
Well, that's not acceptable.
That's on my walk.
Do your part, sir.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Liz, please. Liz on line 7. We're going to switch sports here. She's a football fan, and she's got a very strict routine on game day. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What do you do on game day?
I actually have to wear a certain outfit. I have to go to Starbucks at a certain hour, and I have to have breakfast from a certain place. My whole family has to have the same meal every week.
Wow, and you're always, annoying that you got to bring your whole family into it.
I have four kids. They have no hope.
Dear God.
But the only game we didn't do this was my birthday. My husband decided to take us all out to breakfast. Really nice. It was the NFC Championship.
See, your husband doesn't understand your role.
I almost filed for divorce.
You should have.
I should have.
So how long have you been doing this as a 49ers fan? And are you satisfied with the success of the team in recent years?
Yes. I've actually, this routine started this past season.
Okay. Just this past season. All right.
Just this past season. Before that, it was always a shirt, and the shirt just always broke my heart.
Okay. So we better look out for the 49ers this year then, because you are firing on all cylinders.
Oh, yeah. I have everything ready hanging in my closet. I already know the way to get to where I need to go and the seat I need to sit in.
All right. I just want to check with everybody we're talking to. You know that this is insane, right?
Oh, everyone in my entire family tells me I'm crazy.
Right, but you also recognize the insanity, right?
Oh, I recognize the insanity.
Okay, good.
But it works.
Listen, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying it's crazy that you would think it works.
Oh, it does.
Okay.
Let's go to, how about another 49ers fan? How about Danny on line two? He's got a routine as well.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
All right, so what I do... me and my brother, we go to Buffalo Wild Wings for every 49er game. And if we don't show up, they lose. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
But here's what I'm going to ask, Danny, and I mean no disrespect in this question. The 49ers are a very successful franchise. They've got a long and storied history. They've got a fantastic quarterback now, and they've got a great team. But they haven't won a Super Bowl in like 20 years. So do you believe that your Wild Wings thing is doing the job?
That's the crazy part. The year that they went to the Super Bowl, we bought a 55-inch TV just because we knew that was the year that we were going to the Super Bowl. But we started doing the Buffalo Wild Wings game thing. And when we didn't show up for the three games that they lost that season, they lost.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's you then.
Right, yeah. Going to the playoffs, we went to the Buffalo Wild Wings and they won. And then we got to the Super Bowl, we decided, okay, we bought this TV for the big game, but we've been going to Buffalo Wild Wings. What should we do? We stayed home, and they lost.
There you go.
You're exhausting. You're a compelling storyteller. I'll give you that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
Is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Oh, I had something better to say than that. This is going to be some big thing.
No. I mean, your showbiz is pretty good.
Hey, how was your little Geek Fest on Saturday?
Oh, what a blast we had at Golden Apple Comics on Saturday afternoon.
Anything that we love, Bean calls little.
I know.
Hey, how was your little...
How was your little thing? How was your little hockey game, Kevin? How was your little comic book event, Rev? No one has more minor things going on in their lives than Bean does.
So it's you and 30... guys, obviously, standing around talking about Batman.
Or well over 300 people who lined Melrose.
And the moms just waited outside in the car, or they dropped people off and came back? Or
the smoking hot Catwoman who was there clawing at me, and a ton of great people. Many of our listeners, by the way, who turns out do not like you at all. Time after time, people come up. Oh, let me sign your book. I love it when you make fun of Bean. It's so great. You put him in his place. Oh, thanks. Here we go. Many people just come by just to say that. Maybe do even have comic books.
You believe honestly in your twisted world that people are listening to the show despite me.
My little twisted world,
right? Your little tiny twisted world that people listen to the program despite me.
No, not at all. I think they listen to it and enjoy the powers of good, the agents of good who battle against the evil. You know,
you need evil,
right?
You
gotta have
good.
A villain.
Sure,
that's what it makes for any enthralling drama. You have to have a protagonist and an antagonist.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
I think so too. Yeah, but everyone came out and it was very nice, and many people had nice things to say about the show, and it was really a pleasure. So thanks for everybody who came out and hung out. Many of them asked me to write not only my name on the comic book, but also the following quote.
Whoa!
Right, hot fudge, holy moly on it.
right. That's a weird thing to be asked.
Ruin your comic book, but I'd be glad to do it for you. This morning's Hot Fudge Holy Moly moment is, it turns out that size does matter.
Size does matter.
When a lady is looking for a one-night stand.
Okay.
But not so much when she's looking for a relationship. This is coming from UCLA, new study. They asked 41 women to view and handle 33 different-sized penises that were made on a 3D printer.
Okay.
So they ran off some copies. They ranged in size from 4 inches long and 2.5 inches in circumference to 8.5 inches long and 7 inches in circumference.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
Some of them were. And they said in the research that they asked them, pick one for one night and pick one for long term.
Hmm.
And the one that women chose for the one night stand was larger. However, not in length, but in girth.
Penis.
Yeah, that's right. So you're better off.
You know, my nickname was Turkey.
With a little width than you are with length, apparently. That's what they're trying to tell us at UCLA. And by the way, money well spent.
You did good work.
Yeah. Go Bruins. It is Monday. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Fault in Our Stars. Number one at the box office. $48.2 million. The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. In the words of William Shakespeare. Yeah. Maleficent was second with $33.5 million. Edge of Tomorrow, in its debut, made $29 million, made it number three. Then X-Men Days of Future Past, A Million Ways to Die in the West, was fifth. Godzilla, Neighbors, Blended, Chef, and Million Dollar Arm. Top 10 at the box office.
I don't know if you saw it on Deadspin or not, but in between games one and two of the NBA Finals, LeBron James took in a screening of Maleficent by himself. Went to the movie theater, no entourage, no handlers, just him at the movie theater watching Angelina Jolie.
And sitting behind him.
Yeah, yeah, really. Huh? Hey, dude, seriously, there's a lot of other seats,
come
pal.
On.
Are you going to sit here? Tracy Morgan apparently on the mend in the hospital. He is currently recovering, still in ICU. Really got banged up in that accident over the weekend where he was driving in a limo bus, driving back from Dover, Delaware. He had a gig there. He was driving back to Jersey. He was on the Jersey Turnpike, and a Walmart truck plowed into him from behind, knocking that bus into other vehicles. It was like a six-car pileup on the Jersey Turnpike. He lost one of his best friends in the accident. Tracy was critically wounded, but has had some operations. He's got some broken bones, and they say he is responsive, and it looks good. So
that's good.
Hopefully time will help heal him, because he's a funny man. Good guy.
Fire beer mug.
What? I don't think it was beer mug's fault.
So?
And Kevin, I'm sorry.
What?
Looks like you're going to be missing out on Jennifer Lopez at the World Cup. She was supposed to sing the official song, We Are One, with Pitbull.
Oh, that's a terrible song.
But
that song blows.
An official statement from FIFA says that, because of production issues, J-Lo will be a no-show. J-Lo's camp said, J-Lo would love to go to Brazil, but she wants to live.
Wait, is that a quote?
That's her quote from her people, yeah.
By the way, there's something very suspicious about this. There ought to be a way to have Jennifer Lopez perform the World Cup song at the World Cup, right?
They have production
issues.
What
aren't they telling us? What does that mean?
Yeah, that could mean anything.
She wants to live.
Okay, so she doesn't want to go.
Maybe she heard the song, and it's crap.
Well, she's heard it when she sang on it on the record, right?
Wow, that's a terrible song.
But it's just, that's not the point, Kevin. Of course it's a terrible
song.
That's
my point.
It's just weird that they couldn't figure out a way to get her there. Or that somehow they're not able to make that happen.
Maybe there's not room.
Look, the production issues may be that they've got a full card of talent, Kevin. You're right. They've got Pitbull performing. They've got Brazilian singer Claudia Leitte. She will also be performing.
Sure.
They're going to have lots of events happening in the open ceremonies. There's a ton going on. Hmm. So they just simply may not have space in the lineup to have Jennifer Lopez come out and do a big number.
But that's not a surprise to you at all, though?
It is, because when I think about it, it would seem to me that when it comes to any sort of production on any level, I don't care if it's the Academy Awards all the way down to an opening game of the World Cup.
Right.
I think regardless,
mm-hmm, right,
you have to find some space in that lineup for the star, the caliber of Jennifer Lopez. Right.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is There's always room for J-Lo. Kevin, helping with the setup there, by the way. That was
recognizing it a little early and helping.
This must be opposite week.
How dare you? Because usually Kevin is the last person to see it, Kevin.
And the last person to enjoy it.
Good, Kevin.
Thank you.
Good, Kevin. Today's celebrity birthdays, the new improved celebrity birthday list, by the way.
Oh.
Now up to date for 2014.
So this one's now correct?
Yes.
All right.
Michael J. Fox is 53 years old today.
Well, that's a year more than he was all day long today.
Writer, producer, director Aaron Sorkin, also 53 years old today.
Huh.
Johnny Depp turns 51. Matt Bellamy of Muse is 36 years old, contrary to earlier reports.
35 is what we heard.
Natalie Portman's 33 years old. And actress Mae Whitman actually turns a 26 today.
Hmm.
Good work, Dave. Finally got me that updated list. He blamed the internet, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why this list is not up to date.
Not my fault.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean at 9:36.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Ralph Garman joins us.
Because it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, The Fault in Our Stars. $48.2 million. That is a lot of people.
Yep.
Story of two star-crossed teenagers recovering from cancer who fall in love. See why everybody went. Summertime blockbuster, man.
Sure.
Feel-good movie of the year.
Hmm.
Maleficent, $33.5 million, made it number two. Then Edge of Tomorrow, in its debut, the new Tom Cruise film, made $29.1 million. Edge, nope, X-Men. Said already said Edge of Tomorrow, didn't I? X-Men, Days of Future Past was fourth. The Million Ways to Die in the West was fifth. Godzilla, Neighbors, Blended, Chef, and Million Dollar Arm were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sad news also over the weekend. Tracy Morgan involved in that horrible crash on the New Jersey Turnpike. Multi-vehicle crash. Happened around 1 a.m. early Saturday morning. He was returning from a gig in Delaware via limo bus and a Walmart truck. The driver, which they say apparently dozed off, slammed into the back of their limo bus, propelling them into other vehicles. And, ugh, it was just a mess.
Uh-oh!
Tracy is currently in the hospital after having undergone several operations. He had many broken bones. He's already in not great health because of his diabetes and his kidney transplant. But they say he's responsive and hopefully on the mend. He was just about to start work on a brand new sitcom for the FXX network in New York City in August.
Hmm.
That may be have to be canceled or even pushed back due to his recovery. So hopefully he bounces back quickly. Justin Bieber is either the luckiest kid on the earth or the most charming, according to Us Weekly magazine, while he was at the Cannes Film Festival.
Lies.
He hooked up with Victoria's Secret model Adriana Lima.
Lies.
They made the beast with two backs, Kevin.
Lies.
That's unacceptable.
And you didn't.
It's not true.
You couldn't close the deal, but Beeb did.
I don't expect to, but there's no
Over
way.
The Beeb?
Please. Please.
You're just jealous, man.
She has her choice of every man on earth.
Yeah.
She's not going with Bieber.
She chose the Biebs.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Get no, a thousand times no.
Did you get that story from Dave, the King of Mexico?
She's got a thing for racist Canadians. What can I say? Every girl's got her type.
He's a douche.
Leonardo DiCaprio is no fan of Biebers, by the way. Another story came out of the Cannes Film Festival in France. Apparently, Bieber was at the same club as Leo. You may have seen those photos where they're all there at the same time. Bieber sent his bodyguard over to see if he could party in the VIP area with Leo. Can you make some room for us? We'd love to come hang with you. Leo, according to onlookers, whispered in his ear. He just shook his head and waved Justin off.
Love it.
Banning him from his VIP area.
That I believe.
Now that's
I would like to.
The man right there. Leo knows what he's doing. Last night were the Tony Awards. Congratulations to Neil Patrick Harris, who won a Tony for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical for his work in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That also won four Tonys. Hugh Jackman returned as host this year, and apparently everyone thought he was very impressive. I did not see the show.
Lisa, how was he?
I didn't see it.
What?
Wow.
I don't even know you anymore.
You, who are you?
Well,
like
I was trying
a monkey.
Record it, and then I forgot.
She's coming back around, guys. how are you going to face your gay friends now if you haven't seen the Tonys?
I'm sure I can find a bunch of them.
You're going to be shunned. Bryan Cranston scored his Tony for playing Lyndon Baines Johnson in All the Way. It was also won for Best Play. So it was a good night for people whose names you've heard of, which isn't always the case with the Tonys.
That's true.
Have a clip from the LBJ play if you guys haven't heard it yet. I think you'll appreciate Bryan Cranston.
So, leave me. You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, round under my back of my bunghole.
I mean, it's uncanny how much he sounds like the president.
By the way, from what I've heard, that conversation is in the play. It's
is that right?
It's actually in the play that's on Broadway.
That was actually him. That is awesome.
That's Lyndon Johnson right
I
there.
I may have to go see that play.
He's talking about get a little more room in his inseam area. Right back by the bunghole there.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Mr. President.
I feel your pain, LBJ. Look, even the president gets a little gas once in a while.
Sure.
What are you going to do? That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Looks like Mick Jagger's mourning period may be over. You know, you may remember famously he lost his girlfriend. She took her own life. Fashion designer Loren Scott. Mick, they say, was destroyed by it. Well, 3 months later, they've got photos of him now going at it with a much younger lady on a hotel room terrace in Zurich, Switzerland.
So life is for the living.
Apparently, Jagger is shaking off all that depression, and now he's back on the prowl. According to the UK Sun newspaper, the 70-year-old frontman for the Stones picked up the girl at a nightclub where she was working as a waitress.
And she said,
F me, F me, F me, F me, F me, F me. I'm sure she did.
Loren's sister was not happy about the photos in the newspaper. She said to a reporter, and I quote, "He'll never change, and people wonder why Loren was so depressed." Oh, come on. Wow. Low blow.
By the way, there's no indication that he cheated on Loren, by the way. They were together 10 years or something, right?
Yeah, there's no indication, but...
Seriously.
He's a rock star going around the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. No, you're right. No, no. He wore a chastity ring because he was going out with a fashion designer at 60. He decided he was going to change his entire life.
I'm just saying it's not fair to put that on him that she committed suicide.
I didn't say it was fair, but I'm not saying he was faithful either.
All right, let me ask you. Let me ask you this, Lisa.
Yes.
You get the opportunity to have sex with Mick Jagger, legendary Lothario, one of the most famous men in the world. Even though he's 70, do you still do it?
Yes.
Boom. There you go. There's your
Got
answer,
it, right?
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Legendary Penis. Lothario. He's not Gene Simmons.
No, he's
the
not.
Most bored man in the world while having sex.
Powerful. Yeah.
You sense that Mick Jagger really would make
He'd
it worth
bring
a while.
It. Yeah,
He'd bring
absolutely.
It, right.
Those lips alone.
I know, right?
He can do. Worst case scenario, if your toilet gets stopped up, you can plunge it out with his face.
I hadn't thought of that.
It comes in handy. It's nice to have Mick around.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, nice work, Kevin and Bean Cursed, still intact.
Now what?
Kevin and Bean Cursed.
We get blamed for everything.
Remember a couple weeks ago when you guys talked to the world's oldest man, 111-year-old Alexander Imick?
Yeah, it's our fault he died.
Yeah, he's dead.
Aww. Yeah, that's our
nice
fault.
Nice work.
He was 111.
Nice work, Kevin and Bean Cursed.
There's no curse. We bought him an extra couple of weeks. That's how I like to look at it.
Took away 20, 30 years off his life.
Sure.
So he was going to live to be 140?
Easily.
Was that your guess?
Easily. He was going for 140.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
You heard him. He was spry. He was active. He was mentally with it.
Say he had a good 111-year run.
Killers. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Michael J. Fox is 53 years old today. Producer, writer, director Aaron Sorkin, also 53. Johnny Depp is 51 years old today. Muse singer Matt Bellamy is 36. Natalie Portman's 33. And actress Mae Whitman is 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at all new Kevin and Bean Show, Jenny Slate will be in studio with us.
Oh, she's lovely and funny.
Speaking of lovely and funny, Rob Delaney will also be here. And we have Petros Papadakis.